days, the light from the Lord Veriton's lantern eating away at my will like acid. I remembered the scrape of his warplate and the smell of him like rainwater and melting snow. I remembered the look in his eyes. Stormcasts don't have human eyes, not really. Their eyes are windows to the eternal storm. And when I looked into them, I knew that I had defied a god. Worse, I had disappointed one. My hands convulsed into fists. I pushed the memories back down, forcing them into a red box at the center of my mind. The past was done. All that mattered was the here and now. I didn't know what I was going to do if I saw Myrne again. I didn't even know why I was still here. Leaving was the smart play. There was nothing for me here. Oh, but there is, and you have its scent. The voice seemed to echo through the room. I turned. There was another antler sigil on the table. I didn't know where they were coming from. They might all be the same one, as far as I could tell. I didn't pick it up. You're on the trail now, and you can't stop. You have to see it through to the end. Just like you did before. I heard the thud of hooves from above, as if something were creeping across the roof. My mouth was dry, and my head echoed painfully with the drumbeat of those damned hooves. Like it or not, you're a hunter, Haran. You catch a scent and you pursue your prey until you run them down. It was in the room with me now. Something impossibly big, somehow squeezed into such a small space. It stank of rotting meat and animal musk. Teeth like square blades clicked as it spoke. That's why I chose you, Haran. That's why I want you to find me. It moved, the floorboards bending and whining beneath its weight. Its stink filled my nose and mouth as a ragged mass circled me, always just out of sight. Do you remember your dream, Haran? The way she cut and cut and cut until there seemed no end to the pain, and then a sleep of ages in the soft, wet loam. But I am awake now, and I will have my due. Not me, I said. There was an animal snort. Though whether it indicated amusement or frustration, I couldn't say, and didn't care. I went for the door. It didn't stop me. Maybe it couldn't, in the same way it couldn't catch me on the bridge. I knew enough about gods to know that they wanted you to come to them. If they were hunters, they were the sort who sat waiting in trees, or weaving wide webs, patient and eternal. It didn't make it any less bothersome to consider. I could breathe easy in the corridor. The animal musk was there, but faint. It hung over the town, like the miasma of rot and swamp. I listened at the door, but heard nothing. I imagined it there, pressed to the other side, eyes narrowed, great teeth bared. A great black stag, all hunkered up and listening to me, listening to it. I laughed, but shakily. I needed a drink, something to wash my mouth out. I made my way down to the common room. I wasn't surprised to see that Pender was already waiting on me, at a table in the corner. He looked nervous. I didn't blame him.
"You've took your time," he said as I joined him.
"You work quick. Did you find them?"
"I did."
He reached into his furs and produced a battered notebook. A little leather field journal, like officers carried. He pulled it back out of my reach.
"It's full of sketches. Why do you want it?"
"I don't know. Mern told me where it was." He frowned.
"You saw him, then?"
"I think you know damn well that I did. I think you set it up on his behalf. How long have you been helping him?"
"Quiet,"
Pender growled. He looked around.
"We shouldn't have met here. Too many ears listening, too many eyes looking."
I followed his gaze, but no one seemed to be paying us any undue attention. The room wasn't crowded, and most of the patrons were occupied with their drinks. I wondered how many of them, if any, had been at the farm. "It's as safe as your little meeting place near the Palisades." Sepesh knew all about that, by the way. "Answer my question." He cursed.
"Mern's a friend."
"He has a lot of friends, it seems."
"Including you."
"I'm not feeling very friendly at the moment." "Do you know why he wants me to have that thing?" I gestured to the notebook. Pender shook his head.
"No, and I don't care. I got problems of my own."
He looked up as someone came in.
"And there's the biggest one now."
I didn't have to ask who he meant. The way the common room fell silent told me all I needed to know.
"Give us some privacy," I murmured.
He beat a hasty retreat. I tried to concentrate on my drink as the newcomer approached my table.
"Was that Pender I just saw?"
Sepesh said, as she took his chair and spun it around, seating herself opposite me. "Is that his name?"
"Funny. Your sense of humor is going to get you in trouble if you're not careful. Speaking of which, what was all that this morning?"
"Nothing I couldn't handle," I said.
"You left a dead man on the front porch of Mern's farm."
"Did he die then?" I shook my head.
"How sad."
Sepesh smiled.
"Not really. Plenty more peasants where he came from."
She looked around the room as she said it, and I heard chairs scrape back as people tried to avoid her gaze.
"That's two murders you've committed since you arrived, by the way."
"I'm glad someone is keeping track. What do you want?"
"To say thank you."
"I didn't do anything."
"Way I heard it, you flushed out our quarry."
"And who told you that?"
I leaned forward. "How's Fulda, by the way?"
He took a nasty spill. I hope I didn't hurt him too badly.
"You mean when you tackled him, or when you kicked him in the head?"
"Either," I said. "What about Buell? I cut him good, I think." Sepesh's smile took on a sour tinge.
"You know, you could say thank you. If not for me riding herd on him, Buell would have already come after you. He holds a grudge, something fierce."
"We have that in common." She snorted.
"I've put men on the house. They'll watch it. If Mern comes back, they'll have him."
She frowned.
"I was wrong. We should have checked more closely."
"Mern's audacious," I said. "Always has been."
"What did he say to you, anyway?"
Nothing about why he might have tried to kill Lord Wald, if that's what you're wondering.
I wasn't. Where did he go?
No idea. I was a bit distracted by the lunatics in corn masks trying to kill me. I paused. You should really keep a tighter leash on your hunting dogs, Sepesh. They're liable to hurt themselves if you let them run free like that.
I'll pass that along to his lordship, shall I?
She leaned over the back of the chair.
Anyway, I've come with an offer. His lordship is looking for men. Strong sword arms are lacking out here. Fishermen make lousy soldiers, as you've just pointed out.
I didn't look up from my drink.
And does he need soldiers, then?
Every lord does. I don't carry a sword, and his lordship already hired me, remember?
You earned your money. Mern will be caught soon enough.
You sound confident.
Maybe I am.
Sepesh leaned close and eased my drink out of my hand.
There's good money in it.
I looked at her, and she took a swallow of my drink.
Better than you can earn breaking legs in the fastness. His lordship thinks you have potential.
I'm not looking to work at the moment. Sepesh set the drink down and smiled. It didn't reach her eyes.
You should start. We don't care for vagrants around here.
I knew a threat when I heard one, even if she was smiling as she said it. I'm not a vagrant. I have a room. I have money, thanks to his lordship. I'm practically a man of means, and I don't take kindly to threats.
No, I don't suppose you do. Then neither does his lordship. Best you remember that, Haran.
She tipped my drink over with a flick of her finger, and we watched it splash to the floor. Then she stood and threw a coin on the table.
For the drink.
Pender came over to join me as soon as she'd swaggered out.
Think she knows?
That's not my problem. Now give it to me. He proffered the notebook, and I snatched it away. He looked around.
There was something funny about that place.
There's something funny about this whole damn town. Did anyone see you? He shook his head.
No, I made sure.
The sheriff mentioned that she put men all around it. He grinned.
They decided to look the other way.
He rubbed his fingers together.
Speaking of which, you owe me.
I fished some coins out of my coat and set them down. Before he could grab them, I said,
You're certain no one saw you? If they did, I certainly didn't see them.
That is not a comforting statement, Pender. He sat back.
You either trust me or you don't. Besides, nobody cares now. As far as the guards are concerned, I was claiming the money Mern owed me.
And did you?
He gave another grin. With interest.
He looked at the notebook.
So how are sketches supposed to help anybody?
Depends on what they're of. I opened the notebook. Mern had always been a better-than-decent artist. Rather than drawing a map, he'd sketched landmarks with a char pencil. I recognized some of them. Places around the canton, including Lord Wald's manor. Others were less familiar. I saw stockades, where figures sat in obvious misery. Work gangs toiling in the waters, processions of riders sketched from a safe distance. The drawings weren't random. Mern wasn't the sort to waste time on idle fancies. If he'd bothered to sketch them, they were important. I recognized some of these places, but others... I stopped. One of the drawings was of a prison barge, resting alongside a crumbling quay. Obviously sketched from a point close by. "The prison barges are arriving today, aren't they?" I asked.
"Three of them. One from the Faustness, even."
I showed him the sketch.
"Do you know where this is?"
He shook his head.
"I don't go out in the swamp if I can help it."
"Doesn't matter. I know who to ask." I flipped over the page and froze. A black shape, silhouetted against the trees, stared up at me from the paper. Antlers stretched across the page's width, and the animal's bulk was obvious and unnatural. I snapped the notebook closed and rose to my feet. I pushed the coin Sepesh had left towards Pender as I stood.
"Have a drink on me." He snatched it up. "Don't mind if I do."
I left, taking a moment to make sure I wasn't followed. Sepesh didn't strike me as being that subtle, but it only cost me a few moments to be sure. I thought about her offer as I strode through the rain. Something had them worried, not just Mern. They were worried about me, for reasons I couldn't fathom. I wondered if it had something to do with the old stag marking me, as Fulda had called it. Whatever that meant. Between what I'd experienced since arriving and my dreams, I knew that whatever supposedly slept in the huntsman's bower had its attentions fixed on me for reasons I couldn't understand.
"Oh, but you do, though. Don't you, Haran? You understand better than you admit."
I stopped. I knew it was foolish, but I was tired and getting angry.
"Understand what?" I growled. "What do you want?"
Silence. I looked around to see if anyone had noticed. The street was empty, save for me and the rain. I could hear music, though, and a noise like beasts howling. But I knew the sound came from human mouths.
"The third day of celebration is always a bit fraught. They know what is coming and grow ecstatic, like hounds on the scent. Who are you?" "You keep asking that question. You know who I am. You know what I want. Deny it all you like, but I will still be here, waiting when you finally find your courage."
"My courage," I spat. "You're the one hiding in my head."
"I'm not hiding. I'm waiting. Sooner or later we'll meet face to face, little priest. A man and his god. That'll be a fine time, and no doubt. I'm not a priest, and you're no god. But you could be, and so could I. All it takes is a bit of blood and bone."
A pause and an animal snuffle, like some great beast making itself comfortable in its surroundings.
"I can wait, as I said."
"Good. Keep waiting." There was no reply. I felt sick and went to a rain barrel, looking to splash water on my face. but there was no water to be had, just bones. I looked up and let the rain cover me. Just for a moment, just enough to feel clean. I found Deschler near the quay at her berth. She was loading up her skiff with supplies. I coughed and she looked up.
Well, you look a sight.
Where's this? I asked, holding up the sketch of the barge. Deschler frowned.
Where'd you get that?
Answer the question. She squinted at the drawing.
Out where the old lumber mills are, by the looks of it.
You can take me there. Deschler straightened.
Maybe. Why should I?
I pulled out a handful of coins from Lord Wald's retainer. She frowned.
Double it, and you've got a deal.
Fine. Half now, half when we get back. She grimaced, but nodded. I dropped the coins into her palm.
You're lucky you caught me between trips, she told me.
Almost as if it's meant to be. When can we leave? Deschler looked around.
Now, if you like.
I paused. The crowds along the quay gave voice to a bloodthirsty ululation. To my ears, it sounded like the call of some monstrous stag. Yeah, I said. Now's good. Chapter 21. Prison Barges. The sky was a wash of greys and blacks when we set out. The sun reminded me of a candle hidden behind a shroud as it sank towards the tree line. Clouds rolled in, and the rain pelted in fits and starts. Bad day for a celebration, I said, as we left the town behind.
No such thing around here, Deschler said. Word is you saw Mern.
Word gets around quick here.
I keep my ears open.
Not well enough, apparently. You still haven't earned your coin. She looked at me.
My bad luck, I guess.
She peered into the rising murk. I could hear the hunting trill of the eels as they prowled the shallows.
Eels are out early. Bad omen.
Is it? I said. I felt an itch between my shoulder blades. Our passage was not unobserved, but I saw no pale faces in knotholes or vague dog-like shapes in the undergrowth. Only the trees and the water, and the mist covering it all. That only made it worse. I shivered in my damp clothes. Cold? Deschler asked. I feel like I'm never going to get warm again.
The sun doesn't shine down here, Deschler said. The moon doesn't gleam beneath these black trees. The only light is under the water. And what we make.
Poetic, she sniffed.
It was, actually. Not by me, though.
I've never been much for poetry, I said. How long have you known Mern? She didn't answer.
You met in Ironhole, I continued.
I tapped my arm. I saw the tattoo on Mern's arm, just like yours. He must have run into trouble since I last saw him. Deschler looked away.
I met him there.
She spat over the side.
He kept me breathing when he had no reason to worry about an old woman. Then that was him.
Yes, I said. Tell me about him.
Aren't you his friend?
I don't think we were ever friends, just on the same side. Tell me about him.
Why?
Because I'm trying to decide whether or not to kill him. She peered at me.
That's a lousy sense of humor you got.
So I've been told, but I'm not joking. I folded back the edge of my coat and tapped the pommel of my knife. See, I came to kill him. He knows things he shouldn't know. But I'm starting to think that was just an excuse on my part.
Yeah?
I nodded and looked out over the water. Maybe. Or maybe I mean what I say. Maybe the only reason I didn't stick this knife into him last time was because I missed the chance. You understand?
Yeah,
she said, lifting her pole like a club. She almost caught me with it, but I'd been half expecting her to pull something similar since we'd met. I caught the blow on my palm and shoved her over the side. Then I sat back down and waited. She surfaced, spluttering in indignation. She reached for the skiff, and I jabbed her with a pole. Not yet, I said. Trilling filtered through the air. I whistled in reply.
Listen to them.
Let me back on the skiff, damn you, she said, splashing frantically.
First, tell me how long you've been Mern's eyes and ears in town.
What?
I jabbed her with a pole again. Did I stutter?
No, no, goddammit, for years,
she spat. The trills were louder now, and she looked around, eyes wide.
Let me back up on the skiff, Blackwood, please.
In a moment. Why did Mern bring me here?
I don't know.
I'm no expert on eels, but they sound hungry to me. What about you?
Blackwood!
Panic was etched across her lined features.
Please!
Just answer the question. I could see a spotted, snake-like form slithering closer through the dark waters. I tightened my grip on the pole. I'd have to be quick. And I'd be quick about it if I were you.
He needs help,
she shouted, grabbing for the skiff.
Damn you, he needs help. He said you faced a god before and survived. He said you were the only one who might be able to stop whatever is happening out there.
And why would I do that? She stared up at me in incomprehension. Before she could answer, the eel shot towards her. I thrust the pole down like a spear, punching it in the side of the head. It whipsawed away, shrieking. More closed in.
Why the runaround, then? I demanded. Just to piss me off. We had to be sure it was you, she gasped. He hasn't seen you in years.
Good enough. I extended the pole towards her. She caught it gratefully, and I dragged her aboard, just as a second eel made its run. It tried to follow her onto the skiff, and I belted it with a pole. The hardened wood bent and flexed in my grip as I sent the eel tumbling into the water, its skull cracked open. Deshler was on her feet in moments, a knife in her hand. I swung the pole around and held a blow that would have crushed her throat. She froze. It was no coincidence you were out there the day I arrived, was it?
No,
she said, and swallowed.
He wanted me to keep an eye out for you. Good thing I did, huh?
Yes. The eels circled the skiff, trilling in frustration. One by one they began to slide away, back into the dark. All but the dead one. And all those other times you popped up, you were following me.
Somebody had to, she said. I drew the short straw.
How many of you are there?
She frowned and sheathed her knife.
Not many. Enough.
Enough for what?
She looked away. I sighed and held out the pole.
Fine. Let's go. I'm sure Myrne is getting impatient.
She froze for a moment and then looked at me.
Don't look at me like that, I said. You know as well as I do that he wants me to see these barges. He's probably waiting for us wherever we're going, so let's go.
Deschler continued to stare at me for a moment and then nodded.
You're an arse, Blackwood, she said as she set the pole into the water. That is the least among my sins.
She took us deeper into the swamp, towards the old lumber mills. Not the same way I'd come before, but by a more roundabout path, through thick copses and past the skeletal remnants of sunken barges left to rot in the still waters. We didn't speak. The silence was too oppressive. The afternoon wore into evening as the sky went the colour of smoke. Our destination proved to be the remnants of a crumbled watchtower, its stone foundations sunk so deep that not even the swamp could shift them. Trees clustered about its jagged base and grew among the fallen stones higher up like barnacles. We left the skiff moored to the entry post, and Deschler led me through the hollows of the structure's bones. There was little natural light, but the walk was easy compared to some. Roots grew so thick in the water that I was reminded of the mangrove swamps near Anvilgard. A moss lantern, covered by a hood of burlap, hung from a broken support beam. In the light, I saw that someone had made a hunter's hide from the innards of the tower. I saw supplies and bedding, as well as the disassembled pieces of a handgun. The weapon had been drenched, and its mechanisms were badly rusted.
I've never been good at fixing these things, Man said from somewhere out of sight.
I turned, scanning the shadows.
Never very good at using them, either. That's why they gave you a pike, as I recall.
He laughed softly and stepped into the light. He looked worse than when I'd last seen him. A bandage was knotted about one bicep, and he was limping. Dried blood matted his hair. He had his pistol in one hand and a sword belted at his waist. It was the same blade I'd seen in his house.
You're here, he said, as if not believing his own eyes.
I am.
I wasn't sure that you'd be willing.
I stepped past him. What had once been a tower now resembled a scattering of broken stone, brambles, and greenery. Myrne had carefully cleared a space within the ruin so that someone could spy on the structures across the water, where the trees thinned without being seen themselves.
The old key, I said. Funny thing to be out here.
The old key was a flat platform of stone, dotted with the broken remnants of pillars or statues. Braziers had been set up along the edge of the platform, illuminating the area with a flickering jade light. Myrne joined me.
They used to load lumber onto barges here. Now it has a different purpose. He pointed. Lights. Deschler, hood the lantern.
She pulled the burlap tight, cutting the radiance. We were plunged into a deepening gloom. I looked around, barely able to make the others out.
A pretty little hideaway, Everick. What do you use it for? Reconnaissance. Now lower your voice. Sound carries strangely out here.
I did as he bade. The lights were getting closer. I heard the steady thump of poles striking the water and voices calling out depths. Barges found the swamp more difficult to navigate than skiffs. The wide-hulled vessels moved slowly, scraping against trees and the tops of sunken ruins. Each was strung with lanterns that bathed the surrounding waters in a harsh light. As they approached the quay, someone sounded a hunting horn. The sound sent a chill through me. It echoed over the swamp and was answered in kind from the quay. Guards shuffled into sight, carrying crossbows. More guards stood atop the barges. These were armed with handguns.
Well armed, I murmured. Mern nodded. The Sylvaneth have been attacking the barges.
Why? Mern didn't reply.
They're starting to unload, he said.
The barges had anchored themselves near the quay. Gangplanks extended from each. Each of the vessels held maybe a few dozen men and women. Some held less, others held more. None of them looked in a particularly healthy condition. Sepesh stood atop the lead barge, overseeing the unloading. Mern muttered something I didn't catch. I wondered how close Sepesh had come to capturing him before I arrived. The prisoners from the first barge were ushered onto the quay. They were forced into a ragged line by the guards.
And there's Lord Wald himself, Mern said.
I followed his gaze. Lord Wald strode across the quay with a coterie of followers trailing at his heels. They were clothed this time. Lord Wald walked down the line of prisoners, checking them over as if they were livestock.
What's he doing? I asked.
Taking his pick.
Mern's grip tightened on the hilt of his sword.
Wish I had a crossbow. One good shot is all I need.
You're a terrible shot, I said.
I got better.
Even if you killed him, they're still Fulder, Deshla said. It wouldn't change anything.
Mern frowned.
I know. That's why I only tried the one time.
That, and he surrounded himself with all those lunatics, Deshla said.
Mern glanced at her, and she gave a gap-toothed grin.
Well, he did, she added.
Mern shook his head.
His lordship takes his first pick. Then the rest are divvied up. The strongest are used for labor. The rest...
What about them?
I don't know, Mern said softly. Most of them vanish. Just gone. As if they never were.
He ran a shaky hand through his hair.
I think they take them somewhere, deep in the swamp, but I haven't been able to find out where.
He looked at me. After a moment, he said,
I'm sorry.
Why?
I tried to kill you.
Are you sorry because you tried or because you failed? He was silent for a time. Then...
Both, maybe. I was scared.
Scared I might talk.
Scared you might kill us.
He looked at me.
You went mad. Utterly and completely mad after that night. You prayed for 3 days straight. No food. No water, no sleep.
And when I found you in that shrine, you had an awful light in your eyes. I was almost glad when they took you away. Why? He coughed. I wanted to see you punished. For what you'd done. For what you made us do. He laughed. Only you didn't make us. We went willingly. And we did what we did because it was the right thing to do.
There was an ache in my head, like the reverberation of a hammer striking an anvil. I ran a hand through my hair, trying to rub away the pain.
You think that? Don't you?
I try not to think about it at all. I met his gaze, and something in mine made him flinch. I'm not who I was, Evrek, and neither are you. I don't think I was ever who I pretended to be. Not really.
Maybe not. But you could be.
I laughed, an ugly sound, hoarse and savage.
Why did you come here, Evrek? I don't know,
Man said. He let his hand fall.
I thought it might be safe.
He turned away.
But nowhere is safe, is it?
Not for men like us.
Like we used to be.
He looked at me.
It's happening again. A different place. A different god. But it's the same story. Only now I'm the one asking for your help. That's why I sent the coin.
I can't.
Why?
Because I'm not who I was. I can't fight a god. Not again. The words tasted like ashes in my mouth. The little Geist was back, sitting nearby, her hands covering the wound in her chest. I wondered what had happened to Mern's daughter, but I didn't ask. It didn't seem the time. I don't have it in me to do it again. Man grimaced.
Then why did you come? Why track me at all?
And I had no answer for him. Not one that I could articulate. Instead, I said,
What were you planning to do here? Were you just going to watch?
He frowned.
No. I was going to try and track the ones they take to the Huntsman's Bower. To see what they do there, and hopefully stop it.
By yourself?
I hoped you'd help, at least.
I shook my head and turned back to the barges below. Just in time to see the first of the Sylvaneth slip out of the murk and head towards the vessels. At first, I took the creature for a floating log, but then it rose up, shedding water. More followed it, then a dozen, twice that, an army. They sprouted from the dark water like the trees they resembled. The sound rose up with them, a crawling susurrus, like leaves rustling across wet stones. It spread outwards ahead of them, and I saw the guards on the quay stiffen in alarm. Horns blew, alerting everyone to the danger. Lord Wald was quickly surrounded by his coterie and nearby guards. He was ushered towards a waiting skiff, his face a mask of rage, even as the first of the Sylvaneth reached the barges. Atop the barge, Sepesh snatched her blade from its sheath. She chopped through a claw-like branch before turning back to her men and shouting orders. Handguns barked from the tops of the barges, and Sylvaneth shrieked in pain. Clay canisters that I knew contained black powder and lamp oil were hurled into the trees.
I'd used similar explosives once or twice while with the regiment. Fire bloomed, burning back the shadows. Treakin screamed in agony, swaying and burning. My hand tightened on my knife as I watched Sylvaneth clamber aboard a barge, ripping the cell doors off. Screams erupted from within as the treakin flooded into the hold. I looked at Mern. "Was this what you wanted me to see?" "No," he said. He was pale. "No, the Sylvaneth are angry. I thought I could talk to them. Keep them out of it. But they don't listen. Maybe they never did." "Why are they angry?" "Lord Wald has flouted their authority. He's not just feeding the old stag. He's trying to wake him." "I think he already has," I said. Mern stared at me.
"What?"
"I think he's already awake, whether Lord Wald knows it or not." I laughed and sat back. "I think this little crusade of yours was doomed before it began. The gods won the toss before we even knew we were in the game." Mern's gaze drifted away from me into the trees. He flinched at the crack of gunfire and the screams from the barges.
But they said..."
"Who said?" I grabbed him. "Who said? Who told you to do this?" He struggled against my grip.
"The Sylvaneth, the servants of the Everqueen. They needed help. Wald used to worship her, but not anymore. Lord Wald, Fulda, they'd led the village astray. And now, every harvest, the old stag grows stronger, and the Everqueen's binding grows weaker."
I thrust him back and let him go. I shook my head.
"And so what?
How is he any worse than she is?"
"It's not about worse or better," Mern said. "It's about right and wrong."
He closed his eyes as the guns continued to crash.
"We have to do the right thing, whatever the consequences."
"That's a damn fool thing to say."
"You're the one who said it."
I froze, just for a moment. Mern looked away. He climbed to his feet and drew his sword.
"I have to do something. I might be able to save some of them, at least."
"It's suicide,"
Deshla hissed, grabbing his arm. He shook her off.
"I have to do this."
I hit him on the back of the head. He fell forward with a groan.
"Get his sword,"
I said as I dropped onto him and twisted his arm up behind his back. Deshla wrestled the sword from his hand and tossed it into the mud.
"What are you doing?"
she said.
"Keeping him alive."
Mern struggled, but I was stronger. I always had been. Down below, the Sylvaneth were falling back. The barges had become abattoirs. Chained prisoners were no match for enraged Treakin. The guards fared somewhat better. They were used to fighting Sylvaneth.
"If he goes down there, he'll get himself killed."
"I thought that's what you wanted," Deshla said.
"I changed my mind. We need to get out of here."
I lifted him up.
"Help me get him back to the skiff."
"Wait. Wait,"
Mern mumbled. He slumped against me, still dazed from my blow.
"You have to help me. I can't do it alone. We have to go to the Huntsman's Bower. We have to stop it. The sacrifice."
Out in the dark, something growled. I stopped and looked up. Dog-like shapes prowled across the top of the fallen tower, splinter jaws wide, tongues of bark lolling. Their eyes gleamed as they glared down at us.
"Friends of yours?"
Deshler asked, her voice hoarse with fear. I ignored her and retrieved Mern's sword. I looked down the length of the blade. He'd sharpened it at least.
"On your feet, Evrek."
With Deshler's help, I hauled him towards the skiff. The dog things prowled after us, moving with an ugly sideways motion that wasn't natural in the slightest. They crawled across the walls and broken beams, circling us.
"What do they want?"
she asked, casting fearful glances at our pursuers.
"To kill him, or me, or both of us."
"Why? I thought—"
She trailed off as one of the dog things dropped down before us.
It shrilled a warning growl. I slashed at it, driving it back. It scrambled away, snarling.
"Think later. Move now."
I hefted Mern and half-dragged him towards the skiff. When we reached it, Deshler helped me bundle him into it.
"Get him out of here," I said.
The dog things were creeping closer. I turned to face them, Mern's sword in my hand.
"I'll buy you some time."
Mern caught my hand.
"Deshler. Deshler will know where I am," he said. "Don't take too long to think it over. If what you say is true, we're running out of time. If you decide to meet me, ask Deshler to bring you."
He looked at me.
"We have to stop it. Too many have died already."
With that, Deshler set the skiff into motion, carrying them away into the swamp. I didn't watch them go. The dog things crouched, studying me. I didn't think they'd come for Mern at all. A moment later, one of them leapt for me, its teeth catching my wrist and jerking me off my feet. I hit the water and lost hold of the sword. The hound thing backed away, still gripping my wrist, trying to drag me into the dark where the others awaited. I grabbed my knife and slashed at it, trying to break its hold. It released me as I carved a gouge across its skull. Before it could attack again, something tall and dreadful rose up over us, like a tree that had forgotten what it was, and dreamed of being a man. A face of cracks and splinters shifted.
"No."
The voice was like the wind in the branches, rustling and rasping. The hound things hunched, hissing. They retreated before the newcomer.
"He is not ripe, not ripe, not ready for the reaping. Not yet, not yet. Go."
The dog things snarled and gibbered, obviously unhappy with this. One edged towards me, but the newcomer extended a hand, blocking its path.
"No, your master is not yet ruler here. Go."
They retreated, vanishing one by one into the gloom. That awful face turned towards me and seemed to smile. I wondered if the look was supposed to be comforting. A moment later, I was alone. Chapter 22. Gint. I was in the green place again, but things were different now. The cathedral of trees had swelled and bent outwards. The walls were full of hissing, screaming leopard eels, and dog-like Sylvaneth crept along in robes made from human skin, flayed and bloody. I was running, but getting nowhere. Something stalked in my wake, every footfall like the boom of a drum or a roll of thunder. I didn't look back, but I knew what I'd see regardless. Something like a stag, but horribly, hideously not. As it hunted me through the green church, it spoke in honeyed tones, though I refused to listen to its words. I knew that if I did, it would have me. No matter how fast I ran, I couldn't get away. The shadow of the hunter stretched across my path, and his voice followed me wherever I went. The wooden hounds were always nipping at my heels, driving me further and faster onto the torturous track laid out before me. And then, suddenly, there was nowhere to go. Only trees full of writhing, snapping eel shapes and water swirling about my legs, crawling to my waist and chest. Brambles pressed close, like the hands of lovers whose names I'd forgotten. The shadow fell, washing over me, and I gagged, my nose and mouth full of the sickly sweet stink of rotting meat and sap. Despite myself, I turned and screamed. A moment later, I sat up, chest heaving, unable to draw breath. I felt as if I'd been held under the water for a moment longer than I could bear. Sweat popped on my pores and slicked my hair to my scalp. "You're awake, then?" Gint asked from somewhere in the dark. "Close enough." "Sounded like you were having a nightmare." He lit the candle. "Just a dream," I said. I blinked. "Where'd you get that pistol?"
"From my bedroll."
He cocked it.
"Something is on the roof. Listen."
I did. I heard the scratch of something sharp on the thatch, digging its way down. I reached for my knife, but it wasn't there. Gint lifted it from his lap.
"Looking for this?"
"Give it back."
"Not yet."
He aimed the pistol, not at the roof, but at me.
"Where were you tonight?"
"Why do you care?" It had taken me hours to walk back, and my legs and back were a tangle of aches and pains. My clothes were stiff with grime and crackled as I shifted position. I still wasn't sure how I'd managed to find my way back. Good luck, maybe.
"I don't particularly," said Gint. "But it's one more piece of the puzzle. What happened out there, with the barges? That's where you were, isn't it?"
"Who can say?" The scratching was getting louder, or closer, or both. Whatever it was impatient. I could hear a raspy, rustling wheeze, like the panting of a dog. Maybe I went for a stroll in the swamp.
"Keep joking."
Gint tilted his head, listening.
"I think it's here for you. You annoyed them tonight. That takes skill."
"You sound like you'd know." Gint smiled, but it wasn't his usual grin. This was a cold thing.
"I know a lot of things. I know about Myrne. I know that Blackwood isn't your real name."
He leaned close.
"And I know what you did in Akshi.
Suddenly, I wasn't so worried about the thing scratching to get in. I licked my lips.
You don't know anything about me, Gint. We're barely acquaintances.
Oh, we're more than that by now, I think.
He twitched the pistol as a bit of thatch fell from above onto the barrel.
We're accomplices.
Take that gun out of my face, Gint, or I'll feed it to you.
His eyes narrowed, and that cold smile slipped. You'd do it, too, wouldn't you?
His fingers caressed the trigger.
Maybe I ought to just shoot you now and save myself the trouble later.
Thatch was falling like snow now. I could feel the rain and hear the harsh scrape of wooden claws. I didn't look up. Gint did, just for a moment. His mistake. I was on him before he could fire. Gint was stronger than he looked, but not by much. I hit him hard on the side of the jaw, and he went over. I twisted the pistol out of his hand just as the thatch gave way and something crashed down onto the floor. The impact knocked the candle over, and all I could make out were knotted, root-like limbs and splinter-like teeth. Eyes like haglights burned in knot-hole sockets as it took a skitter step towards me, moving too lightly for something so large. I fired as it sprang. I was no grey-cap gunner, but even I couldn't miss at that range. I heard wood crack, and the thing fell, screaming and twisting. Something that might have been a tail whipsawed out, parting the air just over my head as it tried to get its paws under it. It snapped its jaws at me as I scrambled back. The room was too small for it to maneuver. That bought me enough time to find an opening and bring the butt of the pistol down on its head. It wasn't a hammer, but it was heavy enough to do the trick. The crack my shot had made widened, oozing sap. I hit it again and again as it tried to drag me to the floor. Every blow further enlarged the sticky wound. It screamed, whether in pain or frustration I couldn't say, and knocked me sprawling. It was gone a moment later, back out the way it had come. I looked down. Sap stained my arm to my elbow.